Welcome to episode 237 of the PS4 Blockcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Mrs. Ayat.
Hello.
And Isley is not here. I was kind of hoping he would be here because he wanted to discuss Final Fantasy 15 with Zaya. But, you know, who knows? That guy, he's always like indoor garden product all the time, I guess. I don't know. Doing something.
He's probably hungover or already drinking.
Yeah, tripping over a hole in a plastic cactus or paper cactus.
Morning mimosas.
Yeah, right. He's like, flower girl's got him all boxed in with stuff he's allergic to. He's like, you can't leave the house. You're stuck with me. But, okay, let's see. Not a whole lot to discuss. I mean, next week will probably be better because next week at least Resident Evil will be out. I know Gravity Rush 2 came out on Friday, or does it come out tomorrow? Maybe it comes out not tomorrow, but I thought it came out yesterday. I thought it had like weird Friday release, which is kind of odd for Vita. I assume because that's when, like, when reviews come out early for a game. Typically, once the game actually launches, they'll re-push that review article on their websites to the front page again. They do the same thing for like a Wikipedia's when a remastered comes out or a game gets released on a console it wasn't on before. So that came out. I haven't played it. It's been getting good reviews. I never did finish the first one. I had it on Vita. I wanted to play. I know they did like the remastered version or whatever on PS4, but I never did play that. It looks interesting. I just don't know if I'll have any time to get to it. And then, like we said, Resident Evil 7 comes out on Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to that. Review embargo ends Monday, but I don't know exactly when on Monday. I think hopefully it's the morning. And no one's been... Typically, I listen to podcasts, and people who have a... They go, I'm currently playing a game, or I'm working on the review for Redacted. Like, they'll dance around it, but because you know the release schedule, you know what they're talking about. Well, they'll say stuff like, I can't tell you whether or not it's good or bad, but then they'll get around it by saying something like, but I've put 100,000 hours into it. And it's like, okay, so you think it's good. Like if they're talking about like FF or something. But I'm really curious to see how Resident Evil 7 does. I'm really interested in the VR version and how many people will play through the entire thing in that. I'm looking for that. I don't know if I'll pick it up right away. I probably won't have any time to play the single player until the weekend, so maybe I'll pick it up on like a Friday, because typically most of my game time is spent doing Rainbow Six or Battlefield 1, so because it's so tough to play with the kid around. I did start playing Alien Isolation again, because I wanted to test out my headset, see how the, because I forgot if the surround sound in the game was really good or if it was just okay, but I'm able to play that at least when he's watching like Rick and Morty or some cartoon or something. So there's that. But as far as new releases go, it wasn't a lot. There was a first piece of art shown from Playdead's next game, which is weird. I don't know why you would show it so early, but maybe that means they're pretty far along.
Probably.
Yeah, the picture's not a whole lot, doesn't really tell you much, but it looks like it'll be in the same style as the past two games, but we'll see. Hitman is getting HDR support at the end of the month, so people who have HDR-enabled TVs, you can play Hitman in HDR. That is a game I need to pick up once they release the entire collection, because I do want to play that.
All of the chapters are out by now, so...
Yeah, but I want to get that. They have that bundled version of it. Because I almost bought each one individually when they were on sale. Because, like, every flash sale, they were always discounted. But my concern was that it would be, okay, does that mean, like, when I download them, do they stack them into the same icon, like, in area? Or is it going to be, like, here's episode one, and then another icon for here's episode two? Like, do I have to create a folder? I just want it to be all together.
I don't know how it does it. I assumed it was just like the game and then you only had access to whatever levels you bought, but
yeah, I get, that makes sense, because I think that's how Tales from the Borderland did it, but this isn't Telltale, so I don't know if they would have done it the exact same way. But I do want to play it because it seems like a game I could easily hop in and out of, like just play a little bit. But let's see what else we got. PSVR now supports 360 degree video on YouTube, which is nice, I guess. I don't know how many 360 videos are on YouTube. I've seen them and done those like on my phone where you just move your phone around, and it's kind of cool. But I don't know how many other 360 degree videos there will be. Like, I guess maybe if they start releasing like concert footage, but it'll probably be stuff that's locked behind YouTube Red.
Yeah.
But it's nice that they added that in, because that would kind of suck to be like, oh, I can't watch these yet. But I have this VR headset. let's see. What else did we get? There's a beta for Injustice 2 that got announced. Also a new trailer for Injustice 2, which actually looked really cool. I'm not a big comic book person, but I was like, man, this looks... I like this trailer. It's really good. But what else did we get? Oh, that's right. Yakuza 0. Did that come out? I know the reviews are out. I believe that came out last week.
Is it out, or is it?
Maybe the reviews are just out. It could just be coming out.
Yeah, because I haven't heard of anybody like
actually playing.
I know a lot of people that are really interested in getting it, and I haven't seen anybody like flipping out over it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Let's see, more footage for Sniper Elite 4. More stuff about Neo. Apparently, the final demo will unlock special items at launch. Let's see, what else do we get? Let's see, EA Play 2017 revealed. Probably going to be around the same time as... well, obviously, it's the one they do during the pre-E3 event. What else was there? Apparently, Ubisoft acquired Guitar Hero Live dev from Activision, so we'll see what happens with that. There's that horror game from the ex-Bioshock developer, the one with the Echo location where it's like all darkness.
Yeah.
The Blind Woman. It's coming to PS4. It's confirmed, because I remember it wasn't officially announced for PS4 back when it got shown, but. Let's see what else is there.
That would be a neat VR game.
Yeah, that would be actually pretty cool. If they added that support, who knows how tough that would be. But let's see. Apparently, you can play 3 hours of Watch Dogs 2 for free. Ubisoft's letting PS4 and Xbox One owners try it out. That's kind of cool. Basically, just a demo.
Yeah.
I like to see that people are bring the demos back. They gotta bring
more
that
demos.
They need to bring back that game trial from PS3. That was a nice feature. Just
yeah,
try this
that
game.
Was great.
Yeah, all your progress and trophies you unlocked in the demo or in the trial period carry over if you buy it. It's like, just bring it back. Is it that? Like, I don't know anybody who would, just continue. Well, actually, you can't keep doing it over and over, because once your time's up, it blocks you out. I was going to say, who would download over and over, but you can't do that unless you had multiple PSN IDs or something.
But you still only have, like, the first, 2 hours of the game?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do, just play the first 2 hours over and over again?
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess in an open world game, you can probably do a whole lot. So, in like a single player one, you could. But yeah, that basically it. We did get news that Sony shut down Guerrilla Cambridge. They're the ones who worked on Rigs. They did the Killzone game for Vita. I forget what they did. I think they did before they were called Guerrilla Cambridge, I think they did a PSP Little Big Planet game, but I can't recall. But that sucks. Especially because, like, apparently Rigs, while it's reviewed well, it hasn't sold well. There's no official numbers, but just anecdotally looking at sales figures for VR titles, it never makes the top 10. And it's also a $60 game, so I guess maybe people just aren't picking it up. But I know at the PSX, when I went in 2015, everybody was like, that had the longest line, because everybody was playing it. And everybody enjoyed it. So, but I don't know, it's just not selling, so I guess they shut them down. But that kind of sucks, because it's like, you have them make this game, like, hey, make a VR game. So they make one. It's not selling too well, but I feel like it's not totally Cambridge's fault, especially if Sony wanted them to make a VR title. It's like, just you're gonna have to eat it and just let them make something else. Either a follow-up to their Killzone on Vita or the next Killzone name or something. I don't know. Like, let them do something else. Just shut them immediately is kind of odd. Like, if you totally drag your feet, for multiple games and just aren't doing that well, it's like, okay, I guess you're gonna have to. But which this brought up concerns that everybody had for Quantic Dream. Not Quantic Dream, sorry. They're not first party. Media Molecule and Sony Bend, because Sony Bend spent so long on Days Gone that if it doesn't perform well, people are concerned that it's just going to get shuttered as a studio. And then if Dreams just underperforms, because that's taken a long time too, then there might close them down as well. But we'll see. I feel like I guess the nice thing is that because Sony's so big, a lot of those people, it's possible they could have opportunities to move to another studio within the Sony family. But then that still requires, moving expenses and uprooting your family if you have one and all that, and going across country or across the world, depending on where you're moving to.
Yeah, and given all of like the failures of Sony's past, it seems kind of crappy that they would go to their game studios and be like, "Oh, you spent a long time on this one game and it didn't quite do as well. It wasn't a total bomb, but it did wasn't what we were looking for, so we're just going to shut down your whole studio."
Yeah, it's just like it sucks, especially considering they hadn't it had been a long time since they'd closed a studio. Like I want to say there's like got this stupid cough. There was this like decade period where they shuttered one studio, and then it was like no one else, and then all of a sudden it was just like multiple studios back to back, big Zipper, and then some other one, Evolution. But Evolution, not that they deserved it, but they did, because Drive Club kind of got botched, and they're like, I can see like, oh, you this was supposed to be launch, it got delayed indefinitely, then or not indefinitely, it got delayed for a long time, then when it launched, then it said even further problems. And then it was just like, okay, I can see as a failure on their part, but it still it's like it really just kind of closed down. 'Cause I a lot of people attribute saying, oh well, Apocalypse, MotorStorm Apocalypse, didn't do well either. It's like, yeah, but that was an unfortunate situation where there was a tsunami, like right before it was going to be released, and they had to push it. And then when it got released, people kind of like were like, I don't really want to play a disaster game. So
Yeah.
it's like I don't consider that their fault, but it is kind of a hit you take as far as the development costs. Like, oh, we made this thing and it just didn't sell because something out of our hands. But then you just have that long trouble development cycle for your next game. But yeah, so I mean, we'll just have to see what happens with Sony Bend and Media Molecule. But hopefully everybody who was at Gorilla Cambridge can quickly find another job. I'm curious how many of them could go to just Gorilla itself. We'll just have to
I'm
see.
sure they have like they ha depending on like the circumstances of the closing and if there was a lot of like infighting and disagreement and stuff like that. I'm sure they offer them like, we're going to shut down your studio, but if you would like to, here are other places within the company, the same like umbrella company that you could probably get into if you would like to try. And we will help you transition to this new studio or this new position or, whatever. But
Yeah. Well, good luck to all of them, and hopefully
yeah, it
the
sucks.
yeah, it always sucks to hear that stuff. But let's see. Other than that, not much else in the way of news. I man, speaking of, I hate when I see stuff like it's like, oh, Red Dead Redemption 2, what we know, not a whole lot. You don't know a whole lot. It doesn't need to be an article. Stop it. Like, you can, when a trailer comes out, you can break down the trailer and speculate on things. But then afterwards, like, a couple months later, what do we know? Nothing, because no new information came out. Stop it. Just like, we need articles, guys.
People excited, like, new information has come out. No, not really. We're just talking about what we do know, what everybody already knows.
Right. Let's see. There was a 20-something minute single-player gameplay for Ghost Recon Wildlands that was released on the PlayStation EU YouTube channel. It's viewable in the US, except on mobile for whatever reason. At least if it's on mobile through a specific site. Like, if YouTube's embedded on a specific webpage, I can't watch on my phone because it says not allowed in your country. But if I watch it through the YouTube app on my phone, then it's totally fine. So I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, whatever. But, man, that game looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to playing it so much, especially because I will probably play it with my cousin and another online buddy of ours. Just the three of us just tearing up in that game. Because it just looks like the kind of open world, do whatever game I like to play. So.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to that game coming out, but that will be in March. Yeah, so that's it for the basic news. There's been a lot of, like, the problem with the new console coming out, especially if it's a console I'm personally not interested in, is I have to hear about it over and over. So
yeah.
A lot of, and I listen to like 13 gaming podcasts, so it's like, everybody's going to talk about the Switch. And, so I have to hear about the Switch, which is fine. Usually if it's all Switch, I'll just kind of skip through the episode, or I'll skip the episode in its entirety and be like, I don't need to hear about this. I've heard enough about it. I know. But the one thing that people keep talking about, where the majority of people, at least that I've heard in the industry, and I guess I haven't really looked online to see reactions for it, but their online component and how you can have a free game, but just for that month. And then majority of people think it's a bad model because they have Xbox Live and PSN to base as established models to base off of. So a lot of people don't like that. They think if a game's free, it should be free for the entirety of thing. It shouldn't just be free for just that month, which I understand that argument. And there are other people, they don't argue for it. They just say they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I think it could benefit from in that model, the only thing is that if you have a monthly exclusive, you can have much more recent titles in that library.
Yeah.
So because for like PlayStation Plus, I mean, that's what a lot of, you know, Reddit complains about, and I hear a lot, is for like Sony, is PlayStation Plus discounts and free games most months recently have been more on the indie side, smaller scale games. Games that are still great. But a lot of these people look for more AAA titles.
Yeah.
Where in the beginning it was like that. And it's tough because with the Sony and Xbox models, you get that game for as long as you have the service. So, you know, it's like, oh, here's just a free game. So that kind of curves them away from wanting to go too recent because they want to get those sales. But in Nintendo's case, they can be like, you know, oh, Zelda comes out, you know, at launch, and maybe 5, because you figure if that sells, that game's probably going to sell immediately with every console that's purchased, and then every console that's purchased after the launch, everyone's probably going to get Zelda, because that's what they're getting it for. And then maybe after 5 months or something, they could be like, okay, sales have dropped, or maybe we're seeing console sales, but the sales figures for this isn't going. So what you can do is you can just go, okay, well, this month, Breath of the Wild is free, and so people can play it for that month, and if people catch it at the end of the month and want to go back or don't spend that much time during that free period, they'd be like, oh, I really liked what I played. I'm going to buy it again. You know, I want to go back and play it. So you can have more recent stuff sooner, mm-hmm. which is like, I mean, who knows if they'll do that. And it'll be tough considering they won't have a large first party library immediately. So a lot of their free games will, I mean, who knows if it'll be just free Super NES or NES titles, like these old backwards compatible titles that they're bringing over.
I'm sure it'll be a lot of virtual console stuff. Like, yeah. The first one might be like Ocarina of Time or something, the 64 version on virtual console, and they'll work up from there. But a lot of the people I talked to and saw about it said it could be a really great model if you could choose your game.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they gave you like a pool of like 5 games or whatever mm-hmm. to choose from for the month, if you could choose your game and only have it free for that month or whatever, the fact that you get to choose what you want to play for that month and not just like have to skip out on a month because you don't care about the game that
Right.
you're getting, that would be like the winning model, basically.
That would be if they give you a choice over, you know, a batch, and then they could also roll over stuff that was super popular in one month and be like, oh, we'll, you know, maybe we don't have, like, say they have four options. Like, we don't have a really good fourth to put in here this month, or so why don't we just roll in the one we had last month that did really well? That way, if people still want to keep playing, or maybe they didn't finish it, they want to go back and keep going, you can just add that back in there. It would be, yeah, really nice. And they could probably even do something like how Xbox Live, they split their months to where they go, oh, you know, this game is free the first 2 weeks, and then after that, the net last 2 weeks are the next game. So they could do like a split where the first 2 weeks it's like it's maybe it's this group, and then after that it's another group or something. Maybe they could do, I mean, who knows? I'm sure a bigger game, so you'd want more time. But yeah, if they gave you the option to pick the game that was free, that would be much better. But we'll have to see what happens.
Especially what they've done with the you have to use a smartphone to use a lot of the features thing, like, be a good way to make up for that. Let me pick my game.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people's arguments I see online is like, well, it's good to have it your matchmaking on the phone because you're going to be you need something to be able to go around mobile. I'm like, well, that means your tablet has to tether to your phone in order to get an internet connection if it doesn't have Wi-Fi and or Bluetooth or like 3G. It's like if that's not built into it, then it has to tether to something else. So it seems like a if it's already got that functionality, why not just do it through the tablet? So it's like it's whatever. But we'll see. But yeah, just it'll be curious to see how their online component expands and evolves after launch, and if it gets anywhere kind of like Xbox Live or PSN. But
Yeah, to be fair, this is like the start of online, basically, for Nintendo. They've
right.
never really had a big like online community player base before, so
Yeah.
they're making it fit with their very niche consoles and brand of games.
Yep. I saw an article about how developer Respawn laughed off the idea of Titanfall 2 on the Switch. He's like, "Is Titanfall 2 coming on the Switch?" No, fuck no. He's like, that's what he said. And I was like, "That's pretty funny." It's like, "There's no way." But, yeah. Other than that, that's kind of it. I haven't played anything new to talk about. And like we said, Isley's not here to talk about 15. I did buy a pair of, I talked about last time, the Platinum Wireless headset from Sony. In the end, I ended up having to return them because they aren't compatible with the Elgato game capture. Because it,
Sucks.
yeah, it's just the way. So if the problem is it reroutes everything through the dongle to transmit to the headset. So the Elgato can't capture any audio because the PS4 can't split the audio output from the USB to the TV. So it can do TV and optical at the same time, but it can't do USB and TV or USB and optical. Now, the nice thing is about it is that it was plug and play. You just put it in, change it to the headset. In the settings, you're done. It's default to surround sound. If you want to do specific, you know, audio things like, oh, I'm with the shooter setting or the horror setting, that you can change that and go in there manually and do it. And it was a really nice headset. I liked it a lot. But I had a return for that. So I ended up buying the Astro A50s, the Gen 3s that came out at the end of October. Because they were 7.1 and they are through optical, so I am able to capture the game audio and party chat if I wanted to. And I really like them. They're really good. I let's see, the microphone on them's good, decent sound quality, so I don't mind that. The one thing that is kind of obnoxious is that if I want to change any of the equalizer settings, any of the presets, I have to plug it in, unplug it from my PS4, plug it into my computer, boot it up, and change it. Luckily, there are three preset settings on the headset, so I could just switch between one, two, or three. Right now, I'm only using one. They're preset called Astro. I haven't done any custom equalizing on my own because I don't know. I'm trying to find like gu good guides online for like what's the best amp setting for Battlefield 1? What's the best one for Rainbow Six Siege? What's the best one for this? Like, but there aren't really any good ones on there. Like people, I can find some for Call of Duty, but it's like that doesn't help. And then a lot of times I can find some for the previous gens of the Astros, but it's like, yeah, I don't know if that'll be the same though. So I can't do it. So it's super, kind of obnoxious. So I've just been leaving it on the Astro setting because it sounds nice. It's really good. I like that on the headset itself, the on the right earpiece, there's like the outside's like a it's a paddle, and if you push on the back side of it, it increases your party chat volume while decreasing it. It's like a balancer between party chat and game audio, so I can hit that up to increase the game audio, and it'll slightly decrease. Or increase party chat, it'll decrease game, or I can increase game and decrease party chat. So it's nice because the party chat settings on PS4 already have a slider to adjust if you want to hear more of the game and less of your party, or more of your party and less of the game. And you say, if it's Battlefield, I'll put it more towards the party. And if it's Rainbow Six Siege, I put it more towards the game because I want to be able to hear it. But now it's like I can just leave it in the middle and just manually, I'm able to change it on the fly with the headset, which is super convenient.
Yeah, that's awesome.
yeah, so I like that a lot. It charges. I like the dock, how it just sits in the dock. It's got a magnetic pull to it, and it just the wireless charging. you can charge it with a cable. Let me see if there's where it is on here. I think there's like a. Oh, there's a USB-C port on the right side, so I can plug that in. Like if it's dying, but I still want to play my games, I could just. I need an extra cable to do it, but I could just plug in another one. I could probably use the PS4 chargers to do that. But yeah, it's a nice build. The one downside I have, or it has rather, I don't have downsides. I'm perfect. But the one problem it has is that it. So the earpieces are super comfortable, but they're this light foamy material, and they fit perfectly over my ears, which is what I want. They're nice, but they don't cancel sound because it's just puffy foam. But you can buy a noise canceling mod kit, which comes with thicker, full thick like leather pieces, and then another ear attachment piece. So you just like pop off these ones and you pop those ones on. But it costs $40. And I'm like, so that's the one downside to the headset is that they're an expensive headset that don't come with the noise canceling pieces with it. And I'm like, so, which is typically fine because if I'm playing at night, it's just me. But when I'm playing Alien Isolation and my kid's watching like Inside Out or, you know, some movie, I can hear the movie pretty good through the earpieces. But it's like, oh, I'll just have to turn it up a bit. Or I just end up turning his stuff down because he doesn't care. He doesn't need to have the volume up that high. But I can still hear stuff through it. That's the only problem. And then if I'm like testing out and like blaring music on it, then that music will blare, of course, out the headphone to anybody who's in the room. But so that's the downside. I do, and they are unfortunately on back order for those earpiece noise canceling earpieces. I have them on notify me about it, so once they get in, I get back in. What's really funny, and car companies do this a lot too, but I signed up on their webpage and registered my product, and then they go, "Oh, because you purchased something of ours, you can get a 10 to 20%, a 10 to 30% discount on any of our products." And it's like, well, that's great, but I don't need a 20% discount on a headset because I have a headset. It's like, so cars do that to me all the time. Like I get emails from like Toyota, and they're like, "Hey, you purchased a car from Scion. You know, you can get this car with a bunch of cash back." It's like, I have a car. I don't need another car. Why are you giving me discounts? I'm never going to use them. It's like, yeah, you can get this car for free, but I don't need it. What are you doing? Then I'll just be paying taxes on it. But yeah, it's just like, so I told my cousin, I'm like, well, if for whatever reason you want to get a pair of Astros, let me know and I can get you a discount on them. So, but yeah, it's just weird. It's like, I don't know why. It's like, I don't need a discount on the headsets. I already have the headset. But yeah, I like them a lot. I like the, like I said, being able to just drop them in the charging, and especially because I forgot that the PS4 does that thing where you can set it to only give power to the USB ports for a certain amount of time. So I think mine's set for like 2 hours. So I can put that on after I'm playing, and then it'll charge. And then after 2 hours, the PS4 will shut off power to the USBs, and then it'll stop, just keep giving power to the base station for the headset. But yeah, I like them a lot. The problem I have now is with games is like, okay, if I play a game and it has, like in Battlefield 1, it has the audio settings. It goes, okay, do you want, what audio setting do you want? Do you want headphones? Do you want surround sound? Do you want war? Or do you want headphones? Home theater, TV, war tapes, and this is like, okay, I pick headphones. But then it has, do you want surround sound or stereo? I want surround sound. So then it's automatically there. But then Battlefield also has its own, it's like headphones. Next one is Logitech 870Q some headset I don't know about. And I'm like, why is that one so special? Like, I don't understand. Why does that headset get its own unique setting? Like, the only thing I think is like, maybe it's a headset that actually has separate drivers for every channel within it, like the Timat 7.1s, as opposed to having just one 50 mm driver with virtual surround sound. It's like, that's the only thing I can think of. It's like, okay, maybe that's why. And they specially designed something for that headset. And I wish that games had more audio options now, because like, I'm in Rainbow Six, and I wish I could adjust certain things in the audio settings that I can't, like the how loud my characters talk. Because I forget that your characters will say stuff when they use their gadgets. So like, I'm use this one character's gadget, and she shoots it against the wall, and then all of a sudden, like, it was pretty loud, not crazy loud, but all of a sudden the character goes, "Knock, knock," and I'm like, "What?" It totally threw me off. Like, I wasn't expecting it, and I was trying to listen for people sneaking up my right, and also my character's just talking. And I'm like, "What's happening?" But yeah, I like the headset a lot. And they're really comfortable. I found them to be a little more comfortable than the Platinum, only because the one thing I had an issue with the Platinum was the rubber band, that piece that rests on your head. It's not too bad, but you notice it right when you put it on, and eventually, once you're gaming, you'll forget about it. But this one's nice because that's just a nice little padding piece, and it looks like it's a premium headset because it has those ridiculous blue sliders on the side for the earpieces and this squiggly blue cord on the inside. It's like, you guys are going way overboard. But other than that, I love the headset. It's really good. I'd still recommend the Platinum if people were looking to get that one. I enjoyed it a lot. It's just because if it worked with Elgato, I would have kept with it, but I can't game capture with it, so that's the problem. But yeah, other than that, and the 3D audio for it was okay, because I played one chapter of Uncharted, chapter 11, which is a pretty long chapter, and a lot of stuff happens in it. It's like, it has quiet parts and the action parts later on. And the 3D audio was okay. It wasn't like, oh, mind melting, this is awesome. But then again, chapter 11 might not have been the best chapter to choose it. Like, I'm sure one of the later chapters, when you get to the island and there's like a multi-tiered broken down buildings with soldiers above and below you, I'm sure that would have been much more beneficial in those areas, because I could have clearly heard someone above me or someone below me. But yeah, man, that game Uncharted looks so good, especially now that it super samples down on the PS4 Pro. But that game's just gorgeous. I definitely got to go in there and get the rest of those trophies, beat it on crushing.
You didn't platinum it yet?
No, I was gonna, because right after it came out, I think there was something else I was doing. I forget. I wanted platinum. I started it. I wish I have to look at like the release list. Like, that's the problem. Like, in PS3 days, like, if a game came out that I wanted to platinum, they're typically, I had time. Like, oh, there's nothing else. Like, I can do it. Or like, when I platinumed Far Cry Primal, that was easy because that game came out in February. So it's like, I had plenty of time to do that because nothing else was going to come out around then. But Uncharted comes out, and it's like, It's like, yeah, it's in May, but then I think something else ended up coming out later in May, aside from
Was it Dark Souls?
Overwatch. What else? When did Dark Souls 3 come out? I think Dark Souls 2 was. See, because May was Uncharted. Oh, Doom. That's what I did. I beat Uncharted and then I played
Oh,
Doom. Because it was Doom, Uncharted, Overwatch, and the other game that people don't play, Battleborn. And I think there was something else in there. But yeah, let's see. When did Dark Souls 3 come out? Dark Souls 3's. No, Dark Souls 2 was March 24th.
Oh,
So
okay.
that
The
was
other
before that.
one.
But yeah, then I went on to play Doom. And I think after Doom, I forget what I moved on then. But yeah, it's just like the way the game's released, it's like, well, nah, I don't really have time. But yeah, I do want to platinum that game. I have all the trophies written out and what I need to do. And they're all pretty easy. It's just like, beat the game on this. And then a lot of them are just stuff I could do by encounter selecting and just grinding them out. But I'll do that eventually. Plus, I definitely want to replay it just to see all the stuff because it's. I figured, oh, it's been a while. I kind of want to refresh myself on the story. And so I was glad my save was right at the beginning of chapter 11 because that's a good place to start. Yep. That's about, I guess that's about it. So yeah, not much else. Hopefully, there'll be some more news soon. I mean, we are in the new year. I mean, it is kind of the lull until we get a little bit closer to E3, but we do have a lot of games coming out. We talked about last time, between now and the end of March, so I'm sure we'll at least have more game discussions, eventually. But we do need a secret word. Let's see, what should it be? Last time it was. Where did my file go? Last time. It was purr. That's right. It was purr.
Oh, my dumb cat.
Let's do water. Water. There you go.
Water.
Water. Man, speaking of water, I happened to find a old file from when I ran with my endgame Link shell in Final Fantasy XI, between 06 and 07. And the amount of times we spent camping water versus how many times we actually got water to drop in Sky was
Yeah.
ridiculous. We always camped it more than it spawned and we got the drops.
Oh yeah.
But at least when it spawned, it's like, oh, three. Yay, two. And then it's like, all right, now let's go see if, let's go cap BB, camp him, see if we get that blade. Burgundish blade. But time to do
We
Ola
also
Grande.
need to do shit, what was that one that was like down in like the lower part of Sky, and it was
Mother
like one of
Globe?
those were. No, it wasn't Mother Globe. It
Ola
was
Grande?
no. It was one of those big like crystal golem things.
Oh,
And I
Zipaqnik.
rem what was it?
Zip. Zipaqnik? Zipaqna or whatever?
Probably. That
Yeah.
sounds right.
Then
But I
maybe.
remember we would always like we'd be bored, so we would just go and down me and Michael, we would go and sit in that hallway, and he would go and look for it, and then I wouldn't hear anything from him, and then all of a sudden it's coming down the hallway. He's like, "Oh yeah, get
Yeah.
ready to fight it." I'm like, "Oh God."
Yep. Zipaqna. He drops the Gem of the North up to
Yeah.
2, 100%. Yeah, he's in the Velugunnan Palace. Yeah, that guy was, any of the ones he had to spawn stuff were always super obnoxious. It's like, all right, let's get it. Oh, we gotta do Faust. Okay, let's just kill these dolls 20 years.
Faust was terrifying.
Yeah.
He's always like lurking at the end of the
Mother Globe could
hallway
be
to
kind of
chase
annoying,
your ass down.
because Mother Globe, you had to kite the other globes for a bit. You're like, okay, kite them, kill them. Ola Grande, I always liked Ola Grande because it was like you kill him and then just respawns right in the place where it died the next version. It's like, all right, it's pretty easy. But yeah, Zipaqna was like, it's like, all right, let's kill a golem, kill a golem. There weren't that many golems in the area to for him to spawn off. I think there was only three, and like waiting sometimes was so obnoxious. But
And there
you.
was like a gate or something, and he had like a chance to spawn on the other side, so you'd have to like go all the way around the area and get him and then come all the way back.
Oh, yikes. Oh, man. I preferred Sky so much more over Sea.
I don't know my way around C. I never knew my way around C. I had to be like, somebody had to hold my hand and guide me around because I just didn't understand how it worked.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It felt like you had to go around so much just to camp anything. It was
Yeah.
like just so much running. Where, yeah, there's a lot of running in Sky, but I felt like you didn't have to go that far and check something. And you could split, like, hey, you go check Brigandage Blade, you go check Mother Globe, you go check here, check to see if these people are up. Or, and Sky was also easy because it was nice where, like, people would sometimes go farm items on their own, just in a small group, they can get drop items. So you come back and you're like, oh, hey, we got water, a couple waters, It's like, oh, awesome, cool, thanks. So we don't have to go camp that, but yeah, it's I always plus I like the setting of Sky. Just I like that palace up in the air versus the sea. Sea was just too odd shades of pink when you're outside, and inside was just kind of like bland.
I love the way C looked, and I love like the kind of like palace in the center, which is just like weirdly, eerily empty, it feels like. But I just didn't under I don't know why. I don't know why I had this like block in my head that was just like, no, we're not gonna learn how to get through here.
Not even the map, like trying to navigate it was just such a, because there's so many, aren't there like portals you could take in that?
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
like almost it was almost entirely portal based. And you had to like take this portal to get over here, and you take this portal to here, but oh no, you took the wrong portal, and this is where you pop the jailer, and now you're in a bad time.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And I felt like the drop rates on anything on any of the jailers was super obnoxious, and it's just like, but
Yeah, I think we got to pop Jailer of Love like once in the whole time we would farm C.
yeah, I think we did love maybe twice. I didn't keep track of my sea runs, so I couldn't. I didn't. I just kept track of all the sky stuff because it was all points-based system. You get 2 points for camping this, 2 points for that, 1 point for this. 15 for lotting on an item. You lose, but oh great! Here comes the fucking ah! Now there's the leaf blower guy outside the building. Too close.
I hate leaf blowers.
Yeah. Oh, and he's right up on my door. He's right there. How obnoxious! Oh. Oh, go away. Well, I guess that'd be a good time to cut it then. Ugh, what a super loud. Sheesh. Hopefully, I don't know how loud it'll be on the
Sworded by
podcast,
leaf
but
blowers.
yeah. But again, the secret word is water. So, all right, cool. Well, that'll wrap it up. So, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. And we'll see you guys next time.░░